This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. All right. Today we're talking about flow. What is flow? So flow is this state of psychology where you're totally into whatever it is that you're doing. Say you're really like drawing and you're in the middle of drawing this picture and you're just loving it. You're feeling focused, you're energized, you're really into it, you're fully involved, you're totally engaged in this picture that you're drawing. And all of a sudden you look up at the clock and you realize, you know, 4 hours have gone by. You didn't even realize it. You forgot to eat, for God's sake, right? You're so enjoying whatever it is that you're doing that you totally forget about everything else and the work just flows through you. Everything is almost perfect, right? You're just creating at your best. You're working at your best. You're producing at the top level. You know, you're performing at your peak. And it almost seems effortless, even though you're working hard, because you're doing so good at whatever it is that you're doing and you're enjoying it so much. You're so fully immersed, so fully engaged. That's what flow is. That's what we call flow. And you've probably felt it at some point in your life before, right? Whether you were, you know, playing a sport or doing something that you really like, a hobby, or if you're lucky enough to be able to bring it about at your work on a regular basis, you've probably felt flow before, but have been unable to bring it about on a regular basis. And that's what I want to focus on today, on helping you do that. And I'm going to share with you these 9 conditions of flow, these 9 essential elements of flow, and how to bring it about like that in your work, in your life, in regards to whatever it is that you're doing to bring about flow. So the reason why these 9 things we're going to talk about today are, you know, credible is because this guy, a gentleman named Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, he's a positive psychologist. He's an author of this wonderful book called Flow. And it's an awesome book, a really, really in-depth, research-driven book about the psychology of optimal experience, how to optimize everything that you're doing and really get the full juice, the joy, the feeling of happiness out of whatever you're doing, especially your work. And so he wrote this book a while back because he was curious about, you know, what are the roots of happiness? He wanted to learn what makes people happy. What are the essential elements of happiness? And he went out to prove that. He wanted to figure out how to put that together in a scientific book that he could help people with. And so in writing this book called Flow, he conducted this huge experiment on thousands of people. And what he did was every participant in the study, he gave a buzzer to. He said, okay, look, you're going to take this buzzer. If you're going to be involved in this study, you're going to take this buzzer with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you're going to have this buzzer with you. And what we're going to do is we're going to buzz you at random times throughout the day. It could be at 6 a.m. It could be at 6 p.m. It could be in the afternoon. It could be in the middle of the night while you're having sex, right? And what I want you to do is stop whatever you're doing and write down how you're feeling. Write down what you're doing when you get buzzed and how you're feeling in that moment. And so you can imagine after repeating this over and over and over again across thousands of different participants from thousands of different walks of life, you know, from every area imaginable, he and different ages as well, by the way. And, you know, after collecting all of this data, he was able to put together this book and he was able to put together these 9 elements, these 9 conditions of flow, we'll call them. And so we're going to talk about those today. So let's go ahead and just dive right in to how you can apply these. And let's dive right into each one of these conditions and kind of talk a little bit about them. So as we're discussing them, by the way, just think about, hey, how can I apply this into my own life? So let's dive into the first one. So the first one is that there are clear goals every step of the way. Clear goals every step of the way. So for instance, you know, in contrast to what happens in everyday life, in our day-to-day lives and activities on the job or at home, where oftentimes there's going to be contradictory demands and our purpose is kind of unsure. We're not really goal-oriented oftentimes, unfortunately. In flow, when we're in a flow experience, we always know what's got to be done. Right? The musician, for instance, knows what notes to play next. A rock climber knows the next move he's got to make to climb that mountain. When a job is enjoyable, it also has clear goals. Right? You know what needs to happen next. A surgeon is aware of how the incision should proceed moment by moment. Right? If he didn't, then he wouldn't be a very good surgeon. You probably wouldn't want him as your surgeon. Right? A farmer, for instance, he's got a plan for how he's going to carry out his planting, his farming activities. And so to give you an example, a real world example, at least from my own life, is with this podcast, for instance, with this episode, my goal, my overall goal, my ideal outcome here, by the end of this episode, you should be able to know how to bring about flow in your own life, or at least have a good idea. And so my goal is to explain how you can experience flow. And then there are, the second aspect to it is the set of sub-goals, because remember, we said there are clear goals every step of the way. And so my sub-goal every step of the way is to go over all 9 elements of experiencing flow one by one, right? So this first one that we did was that there are clear goals every step of the way. That was my first sub-goal for you to help you understand my overall goal, which is to explain how you can bring about flow in your own life. What are the aspects of it? And so the first thing you need to know is that in order to be in flow, you got to have an outcome and you got to have clear steps for yourself with regard to whatever it is that you're doing, right? So if you're working on a project at work, then you need to know, you know, what the ideal outcome is for that project, right? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? And then what are the steps that you need to take in order to achieve that overall outcome? You got to know what needs to happen next, in other words. Let's talk about the second piece here. The second piece to flow is that there's immediate feedback to the actions that we're taking, right? Again, in contrast to the usual state of, you know, day-to-day activities, usual state of affairs, in a flow experience, we know how well we're actually doing. That's what I mean by immediate feedback to the actions that you're taking, right? If you're a musician, then you're going to want to hear right away whether the note that you're playing is the right note, right? Otherwise, it's going to sound like crap. If you're, you know, a rock climber, right? You got to be able to know, okay, is this the next thing that I need to grip here on the mountain? Is this the next piece that the next step that I need to be taken? If not, I'm going to fall and I'm going to die. So, you know, you need to know immediate feedback. You got to have immediate feedback. For instance, if I mispronounce a word, then I'm going to know that I mispronounced that word while I'm recording something. If I stumble over my words, then it means that I need to get more clarity about the idea that I'm trying to express via this podcast. If I can't explain something clearly, then it means that I don't understand it yet. That's what I mean by immediate feedback. By immediate feedback, I'm giving myself immediate feedback in my mind as I'm doing this podcast, as I explain this. You get what I'm saying? So if you're at work, you're given a presentation and you stumble over a slide or you're unable to explain it and you're stumbling over your words and you're, you know, sort of confused by the numbers that you're trying to explain, by whatever thing you're trying to explain to the rest of the people that are inside that conference room, then it means that your immediate feedback mechanism in your mind is probably going to be saying that, oh shit, I got to get to know this stuff better. You know, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to give this presentation because I don't know it well enough yet. So that's what I mean by immediate feedback. So the first piece again is you got to have clear goals step by step. every step of the way. The second piece then is you should always be giving yourself immediate feedback about how well am I doing or how poorly am I doing and how do I need to adjust, okay? And the number three here is that there's a balance between challenge and skill. This is a biggie. This is a really, really big, important piece to bringing about flow in your life on a regular basis. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of people sort of, you know, if you start a new job and you're really, really excited about that job when you first get the job, but then all of a sudden, you know, a few months later, it gets super boring. And that's a big problem across the world, especially in the U.S. You know, you'll get a new job, you're super pumped about it, you're really loving it for the first few weeks, first few months, and then bam, all of a sudden it gets really, really boring. And that's not your fault necessarily. It's because oftentimes we learn so much in the beginning. We've got a nice, beautiful balance between what challenges us as well as what our skills currently are. And we're constantly raising up our skills to meet those challenges. So we're growing. You get what I'm saying? You're getting your game up to meet the challenges of your new job. So you're learning more, you're developing your skills, you're becoming better and better and better, and you're meeting those challenges as they arise at your new job. But then all of a sudden one day, bam, it's like, it's not challenging anymore. You don't need to work on your skills anymore. And so what used to be this awesome, new, potentially fulfilling, exciting job just got super boring. Real boring, real quick. And that's why a lot of people just are totally, totally sick of their work or are jumping from job to job to job. And it's not necessarily because the job sucks. It's because you're not challenging yourself enough and you're not developing your skills as often as you need to. So that's one big thing, the balance between challenges and skills. You know, another way to think of it is, like with this podcast, again, if I record the same podcast over and over and over again, you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. If I talked about the same exact thing over and over and over again, you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. And I'd be freaking bored with it real quick too, because I wouldn't be challenging myself to come up with new ideas, new material, things that can help you and serve you to develop yourself and inspire yourself to achieve your goals and improve your life. And so that's another way of thinking of it. If there isn't enough variety there, then the balance between challenge and skill is also not going to be there. So in flow, we got to feel that our abilities are well matched to the opportunities for action. In other words, in everyday life, again, we sometimes feel that the challenges are too high, right, in relation to our skills. Then we get really frustrated. We get anxious. Or we feel that our potential is going to be greater. It's like, gosh, you know, I know I'm better than this. I know I could be doing better than this. And I don't know how to do it. Then you get unfulfilled. Then you get bored. Then you want to do something else. And so the idea is to always be looking to balance challenge plus skill and to always be elevating your challenges and your skills so that they're in a constant sort of race with one another and they're always keeping up with one another. So that's the third piece, which is balance between challenge and skill. Now let's talk about number four. Number four is the fourth element to achieving flow in your life on a day-to-day basis is action and awareness being merged, merging your actions with your awareness. What does that mean? That basically means just being present moment to moment to moment. And the best way to do that is to have goals, right? To have a goal of what you're doing for whatever action it is that you're doing. If you're in the middle of class and you're a student and you're, you know, taking that class and the teacher's talking and you're texting, then your actions and awareness are totally disjointed, right? They're not there. You're not present. And there's no reason why you should be sitting in that class if you're texting or doing whatever else, right? So that means you're not present. If you're talking to your boyfriend, girlfriend, and you're thinking about what you need to do later on that day or what project you need to finish up at work, then you're not present. Your actions and your awareness are not merged. If you're at work, right, and you're thinking about the weekend, then you're not present. Your actions and awareness are not merged. So this is basically all about being present. That's what number four is all about. So the fourth element of flow, just presence. Actions and awareness are merged. You know, whatever it is you're doing, focus on what you're doing, right? Give it the time and attention that it deserves. So number five, the fifth element of bringing about flow, the flow state in your life, is to exclude any other dimension from your consciousness. What the hell does that mean? So this is basically very, very similar to the last one we talked about, which was about merging your actions and your awareness. So if merging your actions and your awareness means to, you know, be in line, to be congruent with whatever it is that you're doing, you know, be in alignment mentally, in your head, in your heart, and in your body, to just be there in the present moment with whatever it is that you're doing. You know, if you're working on a project, then you don't want to be thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. Of course, that happens. It's natural. But to really be in flow, you want to be in the same place with your body, your mind, your heart. Be there. And so this is very similar to this fifth one we're talking about, which is to exclude everything else from what you're doing. So in other words, to really just focus on closing all of the other windows on your browser and to just be fully there with that one, whatever thing you're doing. And then once you're finished with that, close that down, open up another one. You get what I'm saying? To just focus on one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Because the moment you open up another one, right, the minute you open up another browser, then your attention is divided and you're not fully able to focus on that single thing and you're draining energy. So it's kind of like, you know, if you have an iPhone, if you've got a bunch of apps open in the background, then your phone is actually going to be draining its battery on the back end. Your battery is going to die faster and, you know, because it's working harder. Even if you're looking at one app at that time, the processor on your phone is kind of draining out. It's working to keep all those other windows open. So if you've got a bunch of other things on the back burner, on in the back of your mind about what needs to happen later on today, what food you're going to eat, you know, who you need to call, all that stuff, then you're not going to be fully there in that moment. Your consciousness is going to be divided. Your thinking is going to be divided. Your focus is going to be divided. Your energy will be divided, even if you don't fully know it. It's happening if you've got other stuff there. So the idea is to, you know, and this goes back to the idea of, you know, being really, really productive. And the best way to be really, really productive is to have a place to put all your stuff, right? To have a master list of places to, a master list rather of, you know, where that helps you keep track of all the things you need to do, even the little stuff. You know, if you've got an idea while you're driving, how awesome would it be for you to just be able to pull out your phone, tap Siri, and say, "Hey, you know, I have an idea for this project that I want to do that I'm working on right now, and I want you to remind me of this later on today, or put this in my inbox." And then at the end of the week, you review it, you look it over, and by that time, maybe you've even forgotten about that idea. But boom, because it's in your inbox in a dedicated place where you put all your ideas. And you don't have to think about it anymore, right? It's there, you dump it, you forget about it until it's time for you to review it later on that week. But that's a whole other thing. So we're getting out of flow at that point when we start talking about getting things done. But, you know, that's the idea. You want to have a single dimension to focus on one at a time. And that'll really help you get into flow, because flow is the result of intense concentration, again, on the present. On the present. And that oftentimes also relieves us of the usual fears that can cause depression and anxiety in everyday life. You know, have you ever felt anxious or overwhelmed or stressed out because you're trying to juggle a million different things at once? You know, how can you be really, really focused? How could you really be in flow if you've got so many different things on your mind? And so that's a key element to flow there, is to be focused on one dimension at a time. And that leads us to the sixth element of flow, which is to not have any concerns about failure, to not be worried about failure. Because what he says, Csikszentmihalyi, in his book is, you know, while we're in flow, we're too involved to be concerned with failure. While we're in flow, we're too involved to be concerned with failure. Some people describe it as a feeling of total control. But in actuality, we are not in control. It's just that the issue doesn't even come up. Damn. Let's say that. Let's repeat that again. So the sixth element here is that there's no concern about failure, right? Because while we're in flow, we're too involved to be concerned with failure in the first place. Some people describe it as a feeling of total control, but actually we're not in control at all. It's just that the issue doesn't even come up. If it did, we would not be concentrating totally, right? Because our attention would be split between what we did and the feeling of us wanting to be in control. Now, the reason that failure isn't an issue is that in flow, it's clear what needs to be done. We're clear about our ideal outcome. We're clear about the goal that we need to achieve. And we're able to give ourselves immediate feedback about whether we're able to, you know, whether we're making progress there or whether we need to adjust ourselves. And that helps you with flow. So again, the reason why failure isn't an issue when you're in flow is that in flow, it's clear what has to be done every step of the way, and our skills are also potentially adequate to the challenge, right? Of course, you know, because if I have a clear outcome here with this podcast, I have a clear outcome in mind, and I know I'm capable of achieving that outcome, which is to teach you how to bring about flow in your own life. And if I know that I can do that, I've already set my goal ahead of time. Before I started recording this podcast, I thought about the stuff I wanted to say. I made a quick little outline, and I know that I'm capable of giving you examples, of talking about each one, of communicating it as clearly as I possibly can. And I'm confident that I can do that because I've done it hundreds, if not a thousand times before. And I've been able to speak and communicate and clearly convey an idea or a message to other people. And it's something that is a constant skill that I'm working on over and over and over again. And I'm raising the bar all the time. And I'm giving myself new challenges with different topics and ideas to discuss. And so that allows me to not be concerned with failure because I know that I have the skills to do it. And I know that I have an outcome to achieve. And I know that it's possible for me to do so. And if I fail at it, so friggin' what? I'm not concerned. Because a failure, in my mind, I believe, is just one step closer to success. So if I fall down, pull my socks back up, pick everything up, and then get back going again. Do it again until I get it right. And so if you can figure out how to put the pieces together to achieve that within your own work, then you'll really be setting yourself up for success. You'll really be setting yourself up for flow. Let's talk about number seven. The seventh element of flow is the disappearance of self-consciousness. So in everyday life, we're always trying to keep a gauge, right, on how we appear to other people, right? We're really concerned about what other people think. If somebody says that they're not concerned about what other people think, period, then they are lying to you or they're delusional, because every single person on the planet cares what other people think to a certain degree. You know, the variances are, you know, with regard to how much we care, right? And the different departments of life in which we care and which we don't care. But everybody cares about what other people think to a certain degree. Now, how much or how little is where, you know, we need to monitor. And some people monitor that a lot. Other people don't monitor that at all, except for certain little pockets of life, certain little areas of life. And so when you're in flow, though, your self-consciousness just totally disappears. And, you know, whereas on everyday life, during everyday life, we're monitoring constantly what other people think, We are on the alert to defend ourselves from potential slights, and we're anxious to kind of make a favorable impression on others. Typically, this awareness on our self-consciousness is kind of a burden, right? It's a drain on our energy a little bit. But in flow, we're too involved in what we're doing to actually care about protecting the ego. Because that's really what it is to be self-conscious. That's your ego getting in the way. So the key then, if you want to get in flow and get in flow on a regular basis, is to, as often as possible, and of course, nobody's able to do it perfectly, but as often as possible, check your ego at the door. Focus on being in the moment. Focus on whatever task it is that you need to complete at hand and work on that fully. You know, be immersed. Be a student of your craft. Always be looking for ways to learn. Always be looking for ways to get more involved in it. Always be looking for ways to give yourself the edge, right? Not over anybody else, over yourself. Best yourself over and over and over again. And you can't do that if you're too self-conscious. You can't do that if you've got your ego in the way, right? How can you be better if you're too self-conscious about admitting the fact that you can get better? So that's number 7, self-consciousness and ego. Make it disappear as often as possible, especially when you're working on something that you really care about and you want to bring flow into your life. Number eight, the 8th element of flow is about time and how time stops. Time gets distorted. So, you know, this isn't often something that you can really just make happen, right? But it's a characteristic of flow. So generally we forget about time, you know, hours just kind of fly by when we're doing something that we really, really enjoy. So this is more so a result of being in flow, not something that you can technically do to get into flow. But it's a good indicator, isn't it? Right? If you're working on something, you really, really love it, you really enjoy it, and all of a sudden you look up at the clock and several hours have passed by and you didn't even realize it, then you were you'd be pretty sure that you were in flow, right? And so you really, really sort of stop realizing what time it is and how much time is passing when you're doing something that you thoroughly enjoy, when you're in flow. And when you have those components in place that we talked about, you have clear goals, you have an outcome, you know how to do it, your, you know, skills and challenges are always constantly butting up against one another, you're besting yourself, you have your, you know, you checked your ego at the door, you're focused fully on whatever it is that you're doing, then when you have those things in place, then time kind of stops. It just speeds past. It just goes right by. And the opposite also occurs, by the way. You know, I went bungee jumping a while ago and I absolutely loved it. And this weird thing happened where, like, when I jumped off over the thing and I just, you know, let go, it almost felt like everything was going in slow motion because I was enjoying it so much. But in reality, it just went by like that. It was so fast. But as I jumped over the cliff thing and to you know, just enjoy that experience, and I'm flying through the sky and I look down and I see this river below me, and the only thing that's holding my body and keeping me safe is this harness that I have on and this bungee cord, everything seemed to slow down. It was crazy. It was crazy. Even though it was like a 90-second experience, tops, it felt like, you know, I was out there forever. And somehow I was able to get myself into a flow state. I wasn't trying, but thinking back, somehow I was able to get myself into a flow state, just bungee jumping, right? My goal was to have fun. I was trying to be there in the moment, enjoy everything moment to moment to moment, take in the nature, the outdoors that I was in, and just boom, just let go of my ego, just go for it. If I'm scared, it's okay. Just enjoy this experience. Boom, I jump over and everything seems to go super, super slow in a good way. And I'm enjoying every single moment of that experience. It was awesome. And so the opposite happens as well sometimes. And that particularly happens if, you know, like a figure skater, for instance, will describe oftentimes during an interview. If you watch them, they'll say, man, everything just seems to slow down and things seem to fall into place perfectly. Every move, every movement, every single thing that I'm trying to execute on the ice just happens beautifully, near perfectly, and I can see myself doing it in slow motion. So that happens as well. But most of the time, what you'll experience in a flow state is things will just fly by. Time will just fly. You'll be doing it. Boom, you look up. You realize, holy smokes, you know, 4 hours have passed by. I didn't even realize it. So that's a really cool indicator for yourself to realize, okay, I was in flow just now. You know, so many hours just passed by. I looked up. Bam. I didn't even realize it. I was enjoying it so much. So time stops. That's the eighth element. And then finally, the ninth element of flow is that the activity becomes autotelic. Autotelic. What that basically means is that you enjoy the activity that you're engaging in, that you're participating in for its own sake, right? You're enjoying it for its own sake, just for doing it. You would do it whether you got paid for it or not, to pull a cliche sort of phrase here. You know, you're doing it because you really enjoy doing it. You would be doing it regardless of your circumstances. That's how much you like it. So you're doing the activity for its own sake. And that's what it means for an activity to be autotelic, as Csikszentmihalyi describes it. So here's an example that Csikszentmihalyi gives. Here's what he says. I might be scared of using a computer and learn to do it only because my job depends on it. So he learns to do that activity. He learns to use the computer only because his job depends upon it. Right? He's giving an example here. But as my skills increase, he says, and I recognize what the computer allows me to do, I may begin to really enjoy using the computer for its own sake as well. At this point, the activity becomes autotelic, which is Greek for something that is an end in itself. Some activities, such as art, music, and sports, are usually autotelic, in that there is no reason for doing them except to feel the experience they provide. Most things in life, though, are exotelic. We do them not because we enjoy them, but in order to get at some later goal. And some activities are both. The violinist gets paid for playing, and the surgeon gets status and good money for operating, as well as getting enjoyment from doing what they do. So the whole idea here then is to enjoy what you're doing for its own sake and get paid for it, right? And so you probably are already getting paid for something that you would like to be in flow for more often, flow within more often. And if at all possible for you to do so, you know, sometimes you just can't get in flow in something that you're doing because it's not the right fit for you. But most of the time, there are ways for us to get ourselves into flow regardless of whatever it is that we're doing, whatever work it is that we're doing. And the whole goal of this episode was to show you, you know, some ways in which to do that, the elements, the ingredients to this recipe called flow. Because in a lot of ways, you know, the secret to a happy life is just to learn how to get in flow as often as possible, to learn how to get flow from as many of the things that we have to do as possible. If work and family kind of become autotelic, as Csikszentmihalyi describes it, you know, just the joy of engaging in them for their own sake, then, you know, there's nothing to be wasted in life. You're enjoying things moment to moment as you're doing them for the sake of just doing them. And everything that we're doing has its own worth. And so that's the goal with flow, to make things worthwhile and meaningful, regardless of what it is that we're doing, to try and extract the highest amount of joy from them. So a quick recap here of the nine elements of flow, the nine essential elements of enjoyable work and life. Number one, clear goals, step by step. Every step of the way, you've got clear goals, clear outcomes. You know what you need to do next. Number two, there's always immediate feedback to the actions that you're taking. Number three, there's a balance between challenge and skill. Number four, action and awareness are merged with one another. Number five, you exclude everything else, any other dimension from your consciousness. You focus on one thing at a time. Number six, eliminate your worries about failure. While in flow, we're too involved in whatever it is that we're doing to be concerned with failure. Number seven, self-consciousness and ego. Check it at the door. Number eight, your sense of time stops. It becomes distorted. It either speeds up, usually, or sometimes slows down. And then number nine, the activity becomes enjoyable for its own sake. Autotelic. You do it because you enjoy doing it. So those are the nine elements of flow, of getting yourself in this peak optimal state of experience called flow. If you enjoyed this, you want to learn more about flow, of course, you should pick up the book by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi called Flow, or you can get the book summary over at getflashnotes.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, of course, go out there every single day and live like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakkari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakkari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.